And this is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and we are here once again. It's another week where every week we talk about life, we talk about hope, we talk about things going on around the country, around the state, and that's what we want to do today as we welcome in Representative Jason Zachary. How are you doing, Representative? Representative Zachary?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Andrew. How are you, sir?
I'm good. So glad that you've joined us today. For the listeners and those that are tuning in, you know, what we do every week is we just want to talk about life. This is really a show to discuss life issues, not just going on here in Knoxville, but going on around the country. And so what I wanted to do today is bring a state representative in so we can dive into what's going to be on the horizon for the state of Tennessee. The state of Tennessee, the legislature was recently voted the most conservative in the country at CPAC, and so we're setting the bar for conservative principles. But what goes along with that, of course, is pro-life issues, and we'll tackle that here in a second. But first, Representative Zachary, just kind of introduce yourself to the audience, where you represent and what you're doing for the people there in Nashville.
Yes, sir. Yeah, well, thank you again for the invitation and having me on. I represent the 14th District, which is the southwest corner of Knox County. So many times we're guilty of saying a number without actually telling people where that is, because most people don't know a number. But District 14 is Farragut, Concord, Bluegrass, Lots, and Rocky Hill. And I was blessed to win a special election back in August. The Representative Haynes that held this seat before me, he stepped down and became the chairman of the state party, GOP, for the state of Tennessee. And so it's a great God story. And through his leading, felt like he was clearly leading our family to put our name in the hat to run for this seat. And so we did. And we won, and so I won in August, and so I've been drinking out of a fire hose since then, and I'm in 8 weeks into my first session. Absolutely love it. I've told so many people, Andrew, I think I've told you this, that it is the first time, 38 years old, it's the first time in my adult life that I have absolute peace about where I am, because I know this is exactly where God wants me to be, because there's no way I could be here without his divine providential hand putting me here.
Sure thing.
And so it's been fast and furious, and actually it's interesting because some of the things we're going to talk about today have really come to the surface over the last couple of days. I know some bills have been rolled and some bills that we'll talk about a little later on, but we are blessed to live in a very conservative state, a state that is strongly pro-life. I was with the governor not 15 minutes ago. We are blessed with a pro-life governor, a pro-life legislature, and so I think the move is on to really take that stand and solidify, you know what, we are for life. Life is precious. Life begins at conception. And fortunately, we're blessed to where science is now supporting that argument. So it's interesting to see that younger generation turn the corner. And I've used this story in Nashville that you told me months ago when we had lunch. You had a lady come in to Hope and said, if it's a blob of cells, I'm not going to keep that baby. If I see a heartbeat, I'm going to keep it. And she saw a heartbeat. And so it's organizations like Hope, it's a pro-life governor and legislature that really make it a great time for us to be making a stand for life. And so I look forward to talking about that more today.
Yeah, you know, and it's really amazing as we talk about that and as we talk about pro-life issues. I find it funny sometimes. I recently wrote a blog for CareNet, which is a large umbrella organization for medical clinics across the country. And it really, it has just been gotten so many comments on Facebook. And so people that are pro-life, people that are pro-choice, people that hate everything that we stand for, people that love everything we stand for, it's such a polarizing issue but it's one that we have to discuss. And before we get into that, I think it's important that we ask you, I just kind of want to know this, what's your favorite story so far? So favorite story so far, you've been in Nashville for 8 weeks, you know, coming back and forth, you're a state representative. What is your favorite story so far since you've had that title?
Oh, my favorite story. I don't know. Gosh, man, I don't know if I can pinpoint one, but I'll say that actually probably one of the funnier stories is, and it actually happened before session, so I won the special election August, came here, got sworn in, didn't have any committee work, so I was kind of coming back and forth just a little bit, not much. And so one of my first times here, they didn't have any office space available, so they stuck me in an office out in a hallway, just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and I was in an office by myself with 7-foot ceilings, and it was basically a closet. And so I was meeting with the governor maybe the second or third time I had come to Nashville. I mean, just green. It's September, and sitting with him, and he asked me where all my office was, and I told him, and he actually knew what office this was. And he said something to the gentleman that was in the room, and he talked about the small office, and he looked at me and said, well, why didn't we put a Democrat in that office? And obviously joking, and
right.
was just very, very, very funny. And so there's funny, good stories like that to remember, but, I mean, truly, that probably the thing that we've done, the thing that we've been a part of and been able to a bill I've been able to sponsor is the grandparents bill. It's a bill that basically, without getting into all the details, it changes the law to where when the parents are no longer in the picture, a judge can actually provide visitation rights to another set of grandparents when custody has been awarded to somebody else. It hasn't yet passed through the Senate, but I feel confident it will. And so something that has brought the most joy to me is that bill, fighting for children, because it is about children.
Sure.
They've lost their parents, death. Drug abuse, whatever the circumstances might be, and so passing that bill has basically helped children who have already lost their parents to not have to be pulled away from their grandparents, and that was just a loophole in the statute that we were able to solidify. And so that's something. I don't know if I'll ever carry legislation that'll be more important than that, because again, it's about healing families that have suffered some sort of tragedy. And really standing for children, and then also just the benefit to the grandparents being a part of their grandkids' lives. So, I mean, in terms of the seriousness of what we do, I don't know if I'll ever pass a piece of legislation that was more important than that.
Absolutely. And so that leads us now to let's discuss some of these pro-life pieces of legislation that are coming up. One of them is a governor's bill that Representative Dunn is carrying, House Bill 2577, the
sure.
pro-life reform bill, which reforms the operation of abortion facilities. And so if you can, go into that a little bit. What is that bill seeking to do?
Yeah, I think, kind of back to my point earlier, the atrocities and just the horrific things we've seen come out of Planned Parenthood, the Lord works all things for good. And that he has done that with this, where it's kind of flipped the conversation a little bit. It's made people confront something they otherwise weren't willing to confront, or really just truly didn't have an understanding about life before birth. And so because of that, now we have just a flood of legislation that's really targeted toward that. And as you know, Andrew, being a part of this world for some time in your earlier life,
sure.
there's so many bills coming through, and I'm not on the health committee, so I haven't had been privy to the briefings of this bill, and we usually see these when they come out of committee, and then we vote for them on the floor. But this particular bill, I do know, I mean, it requires physicians to report the method of disposing of fetal remains. Really, in my mind, based on the surface level of knowing what this bill is, required licensed facilities to perform abortions, and basically means they have to be licensed. Requires the mother's authorization before procedures. Authorized the health department to track how they dispose of fetal remains from abortion. So it really is taking what Planned Parenthood did and putting legislation around that. At least my understanding of it, putting legislation around
right.
that to really, really tighten that up. And it's the time to do that, because people were sickened by what they saw out of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the reason why we bring this legislation up, you know, so often pro-life people are labeled, you know, demagogues or right-wing
sure.
nuts, or, you know, we hate women. And what I want people to understand is the reason why we have to have legislation like this is because there are abortion clinics that are going unlicensed. There are abortion clinics like that of Kermit Gosnell that was operating in absolutely atrocious setting. And it had one room, and he's an African-American abortion doctor, had one room for white people, one room for black people. There's bloodstained walls. There was fetuses in jars. I mean, terrible, terrible things. And he was allowed to operate this way for years because there was no regulation. And so the reason why, you know, pro-life folks want to stand for these pieces of legislation is because it's basic stuff. If we believe that this procedure of abortion is one that is not just your everyday run-of-the-mill type procedure. I mean, it is involving some very, very complex medical procedures. And so what that means is these clinics should be held accountable. And these clinics, and they're, you know, go to the internet, read story after story of clinics that have dumped remains in dumpsters.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the pictures that you see online of, you know, early term unborn children is because some pro-life folks back in the 80s just out of curiosity went to some dumpsters around abortion clinics, and what they found was absolutely mind-blowing. And it was because there was no regulation. And so and then people want to point, well, you always talk about you want government out of your life. Well, to a certain extent, but this is just basic stuff where I think the rights of the unborn, and frankly, in a lot of cases, the rights of the mom are being trampled on, as they're not getting the full picture of what's in front of them.
Right. Agreed. And I think something you said early on, when you started talking just a second ago, something you said early on, I think it's important that those of us who are staunchly pro-life, who believe life begins at conception, who believe life is a precious gift the Lord has bestowed on us, it's important that Paul said that I become all things to all people so I might save some. And I've taken that really and applied it to this conversation, because so many times we just pro-life, and
right.
we jump into it, and that is how we lead. And so many times it's like, whoa, people just kind of take a step back, versus saying, man, we're for women. We are for women's health. We're for organizations like Hope Resource Center that provide free pregnancy tests, that provide free ultrasounds. They invest in women. They love women. They nurture women. They're concerned about the spiritual well-being of women, and they're so concerned about that that they'll provide all those services for free. If Planned Parenthood is so concerned about women's health care, why do they charge $200 for whatever services, or what, you know, the fees better structure better than me, $50 for a pregnancy test?
Right.
If they're that concerned about women's health care, you want to find an organization that's concerned about women's health care, you come to Hope Resource Center. And so we need to make sure that we're changing the conversation a little bit in an effort to stand for life. We say we're for women's health. Here's why, and these are what some of these organizations are doing. And we do stand for life, and we're proud of that. But we add that caring about women's health care, because so many times organizations like Planned Parenthood are using that against us, saying, well, they just don't care about women's health. That could be further from the truth. So to combat that, we simply say this is why we do it, and this is how we prove it, because we support organizations like Hope around this state and around the country that are investing in women, pouring into women's well-being physically, spiritually, emotionally, and we are standing for life in doing so.
Yeah, and it you know, at times it can be frustrating when we see what we see in the news and how, you know, I remember a conversation between Marco Rubio and I think it was Jake Tapper. And Marco Rubio kept saying life begins at conception. And Jake Tapper was like, well, science doesn't support that. And he just was pushing him off and really disregarding everything he was saying. And, you know, the fact that we have a presidential candidate even saying that. Ted Cruz has done the same thing. Dr. Carson, when he's in the race, he was doing the same thing. Carly Fiorina. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on. And we're just not hearing that from the other side. And Representative Zach, we have about 30 seconds left in this segment. We're going to come back, and I want to kind of dive in a little bit more. What is on the horizon for the state of Tennessee? What direction do you feel like we're going to go as a state in terms of life issues? And also, I just read an article earlier today. There's another bill that's going to be coming up through the committee process, House Bill 1758, banning abortions after 20 weeks. And I know we want to discuss some of that here in just a second. We'll be back in a second with Representative Jason Zachary.
And the voice of truth.
And we're back. This is Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center, and I'm joined today by Representative Jason Zachary. Representative, I know you have a meeting you need to get to in the Capitol, so we'll wrap this up quickly. But what I want to do now is talk about, you know, what do we see on the horizon for the state of Tennessee in terms of pro-life issues? And what is your sense, since you've been there for just this short time, what is your sense of the senators, the representatives, and everyone, the leaders that are in Nashville, and their belief and their stance on life?
Yeah, Andrew, man, that's a great question. I think there is a priority based on the number of bills. There's quite a few that have come through based on the number of bills. The legislators here want to make sure that we leave, not all of us will not be here forever, and we want to make sure that we leave behind the legislation and laws that go into place to ensure that there's no doubt Tennessee is a pro-life state. We want to ensure that we protect babies, we protect moms. We're just a voice for the voiceless, and protect, in doing that, protect mothers, show that we are absolutely for women's health care. We want to do more for women than just be about health care. We want to make sure that we're, again, having a pro-life legislature who, truly, Andrew, there are not just so many people can say, well, I believe in God. There are Christ followers here, passionate Christ followers who want to make sure, Terry Lynn Weaver being one of those. I know she had the bill that you had mentioned. The number is completely escaping me. You mentioned it a minute 1758.
Ago. 1758.
Yeah, that bill was taken off notice today. I actually saw her briefly. And didn't get the full story, but it was something to effect of there were some constitutional issues with that bill. But I think that's what Terry Lynn Weaver did is a perfect example of legislators, pro-life legislators, working to make sure that we take advantage of the opportunity that the Lord has given us through what Planned Parenthood has done. I know people might say, oh my gosh, the opportunity the Lord's given us. The Lord works all things for good for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So even the absolute atrocities that we've seen from Planned Parenthood, the Lord can still work that for good. And in this state, I believe the conversation has completely shifted, not only in our state, but across the country. And so I think the Lord will be able to work that for good because his word is true, and he tells us he will. And so I think it's our job as legislators to make sure that we're supporting that legislation, to make sure that if an organization like HOPE were to bring us thoughts or ideas about legislation that they think could really strengthen us as a pro-life state, we run with it, because now is a time where we have support and the conversation has shifted a little bit. And so I think we'll see that not only the remainder of this session, but also going into 2017.
Yeah, that's great. And we certainly appreciate you and your leadership. And just from HOPE Resource Center, we appreciate your support and everything that you stand for. It's just so refreshing to know that we have godly, conservative leaders in Nashville that put principles before a lot of other things, and that is so much needed in our political climate right now. So we thank you for that. How can people keep up with you? How can people keep up with your campaign and different things, and just so they can be aware of you? What are some areas and some places they can go to learn more about who you are?
Yeah, Andrew, thank you. Facebook, I try to be very, very active on Facebook and Twitter. So go to Facebook, vote Jason Zachary. If you're on Twitter is Jason Zachary TN. And then you can also always email me if you'd like to get our weekly newsletter that we send out. You can email me at rep.jason.zachary@capital.tn.gov, rep.jason.zachary@capital.tn.gov. And we'll get you on our mailing list for our newsletter that comes out every Friday.
All right, awesome. Representative Zachary, thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the good work. We're praying for you, and we appreciate you. Go have fun at your next meeting.
Andrew, thank you for having me on, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, yes, sir. Thanks.
And that was Representative Zachary. We are so thankful for him and others that are in Nashville standing for life. And again, like I said, putting principle before politics. And man, if you watch any of the news today, we have so many political candidates that have completely, and pundits, not just candidates, but have completely just thrown their principles out the window, and they're standing more so with just whoever they think may can win. And so their goal is, we just want to win the election, not necessarily win the election with principles and standing for something. And so I'm telling you, so many people will trash and badmouth politicians, and rightfully so at times. But Representative Zachary is so genuine. And it is, I've had lunch with him. I've had meetings with him and the governor. I mean, we sat down in so many different atmospheres, and he is who he says he is. Before our meeting with the governor, we sat in his office, and right before we got up to go to that meeting, he looked at me and said, "Hey, let's pray before we go." There was no one watching. There wasn't a news crew. There wasn't, you know, people in the room that he wanted to impress. He just truly believed, hey, we need to pray about this before we go and meet with the governor. And so that fact told me all I needed to know, that he is who he says he is. And so it's important to know that when we have politicians that are doing it the right way and that are putting principles above a lot of other things, that we stand with them, we support them. And so we are certainly thankful for his stance on life and for his stance on conservative principles and what he's doing there in Nashville for the district that he represents out there around the Farragut area. So we are thankful for that. But some of you may be wondering, well, why in the world would you have a politician on your show? This show is supposed to be about hope, and it's supposed to be about life. And I'm always saying that this is the life issue is not a political issue. Now, I believe the life issue is a gospel issue. It is one. It is who we are. It is our identity. It's what we need to stand for. But what we also need to understand is politics play a role in the life issue. So in some cases, that looks like pro-life legislation that Representative Zachary was talking about, and the legislation where that Governor Bill or the Governor Haslam is pushing, and Representative Bill Dunn is sponsoring in the House with House Bill 2577 that's going to reform the operation of abortion facilities and require them to have license and increased inspection and record keeping and requirements, and prohibits the purchase and sale of human fetal remains in Tennessee. Legislation like that is important for those that stand for life. So we want to stand for that. We want to stand with folks that are pushing House Bill 2577. What we also want to do, even though this other bill was pulled off notice, and what that means is the sponsor of the bill looked and saw maybe it wouldn't get the support that it needed. It looked and it saw maybe it will not be able to pass the constitutional aspect of it, so they got to do some tweaking to the piece of legislation. So they're going to pull that off notice. It will not go to committee. But that bill in question is the banning abortion after 20 weeks. Now, some people are saying, well, why would we do that? Well, there's a number of reasons why we would want to support legislation that says that. It's because at 20 weeks, with the way technology and science has advanced, babies, many of them, you know, not too long after 20 weeks, can survive with help. And so what we want to do is we want to, again, make sure that it passes the constitutional aspect. I mean, we do have a constitution for a reason. But also understand that we have to stand for life. And so that does involve getting involved at times in politics and standing with pro-life legislators and senators and governors and presidential candidates and congressmen and this and so on. So I pray that you would be engaged and look around you and see, okay, what can I do? What pro-life legislation is coming up? And ways to learn more about that, you can learn more about that by following Representative Zachary and others on social media, but also learning and getting involved with Tennessee Right to Life, the National Right to Life. There's plenty of pro-life organizations around the country that you can get involved with and see what kind of legislation we need to stand with and support. We're going to be back in a second and talk more about life here. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood. You're listening to us here every single week. Every week we are talking about life, and we're talking about things going on at Hope Resource Center. Want to once again thank Representative Zachary for joining me today and talking about different legislation that's going on there in Nashville. But we are excited about really everything that's going on for the pro-life movement. There's a lot of folks that are deciding to come out of the shadows and stand with those that stand for life. And it's been a long time coming, but we welcome it. And we are so excited that people are saying, you know what, I'm not okay with staying at home. I'm not okay with not doing something about what's going on around me. And a lot of times people talk about, well, you don't really, all you care about is babies. All you pro-life folks care about is babies. You don't care about the woman. You don't care about the man. You don't care about anything else. All you want to see is that baby born, and once that baby is born, you want to bail, and you want to check out. You don't want to have anything to do with them. You don't want to help. And I'll be honest, there are some folks that is their definition of pro-life. There are some folks that say they would be on my team in the pro-life movement that really are just pro-baby. And they're hateful and they're bitter, and that is not who we are. That's not the majority of pro-life folks, but there are certainly some of those that do that. And what we have to understand is everyone has value. Everyone deserves to be loved. So what I want to do is now dive into what that is. What's valued, and why is it important that we recognize that people have value? So what is valuable to you? Where is your treasure? Do you find value in your home, your vehicle, your bank account, your family, your kids, your spouse, your animals, or your job? And I'm afraid that the things we value and hold dear are starting to diminish. Sure, we treasure our stuff, but do we ever give thought to our neighbor or the stranger down the street? Do we value those we don't even know? I bring up these questions because at Hope we are trying to change this. We want people to see that being valued is not a thing of the past. Value is instead alive and well. We see patients every single day that have lost their way, been rejected, unloved, or devalued by another. Many of them have allowed this reality to become their identity, an identity that is seeing them and their lives spiral out of control. We see patients that accept abuse as the norm, hate as their lover, and drugs as their savior. Self-righteous people will chalk this up to poor decisions and place blame solely on our patients. But the story doesn't and shouldn't end there. Yes, many make poor decisions, I'm not denying that, but their reality isn't as simple as we sometimes think it to be. Many of our patients, certainly not all, have never truly known what being loved feels like. Many have seen their dignity stripped and their value diminished. They were not looked at as a wonderful gift made in the image of the Creator. Instead, they were looked at as a means to an end. This lie must be stopped, and truth must penetrate the hearts if we ever hope to see a change. This is why we at Hope celebrate mentoring. I often discuss the free medical services we provide and the importance and value of ultrasounds. These certainly make a difference, but these alone will not reach the hurt and broken among us. These services, however, coupled with mentoring, will penetrate the hardest of hearts. Mentoring is a great example of loving your neighbor as strangers seek to stand for strangers. This is how we make a lasting impact on those in need. This is how we seek to change the trajectory and break the cycle of hate and disregard. How often do you give thought of those in need around you? Does your pro-life stance allow you to love a post-abortive woman or man? Does your pro-life stance allow you to spend time with someone that looks different than you? Does your pro-life stance allow you to care deeply about a stranger? I pray these questions convict and open up our hearts to the possibilities that are in front of us, possibilities that are endless if we simply agree to stand. Mentoring another requires a great deal of love and sacrifice from you. Loving people in general is a very difficult and messy experience. You are forced to open up and show vulnerability. Others will learn of your weaknesses, and your flaws might be on full display. This is true, but this truth should not keep you firmly planted in your church pew or on your sofa. We are not seeking perfect humans or rule followers for our mentors at Hope. We understand that we all have struggles and some baggage. We know that life is hard and messy. This is why we want you. Are you at a place in life where you can offer some guidance, love, and perspective to a stranger in need? Are you ready to allow your pro-life stance to motivate you to get off the sofa or church pew and get engaged with a pro-life organization? We are not perfect at Hope. We do not claim that we have the perfect model. We do, however, know fully that when strangers decide that other strangers have value, a difference can be made. A difference in perspective, in actions, and in lives will occur when we decide that all life has value and is worthy of our love. So I would challenge you and encourage you to join us. We're looking for volunteers. We're looking for mentors at Hope Resource Center. Now, I know that's difficult. And I know some of you are sitting there going, wow, I would love to do that, but that would require me to sit down with someone that looks different than me. That would require me to love a stranger. That would require me to have conversations with people that are uncomfortable and that are messy. That would require me to sacrifice. Yeah, it would. It would require all of those things. But think about the difference that could be made because you decided to get up out of that church pew. Because you decided to get up off your sofa. Because you decided to, instead of devoting every single night to another television show, you would devote a night here and there to loving someone else. And I'm talking to myself here. I love devoting my nights to television shows. Love it. House of Cards, that is my weakness. And I know some people are going, I cannot believe you watch that filth. Well, it is filth. I would agree. But it's very intriguing. But we have to at some point go, okay, yes, I have all my hobbies. I have this and I have that. But I can give up some of my time. I can give up some of my time to love my neighbor, to love a stranger. It's going to be messy. It's going to be difficult. But it's so worth doing. So I want you to think about what we hold as valuable and also think about what we have devalued over the years. I mean, so many things just have lost value. You drive into some neighborhoods and you see homes that have been left and they've lost value. You look at families that once you were loving and everyone was involved and everyone knew about everyone and you had get-togethers all the time. And now no one talks to each other. Why? Because we've devalued family. You look at marriages. Marriages that once were a thing to be celebrated. Something to be cherished. Something that people look to. And now what? We see people that'll say, nah, marriage isn't for me. Why? Because marriage has been devalued. Maybe they saw their parents divorce or their grandparents. You know, it's shocking now because we've devalued all these things. It's shocking now for me to even find out that some people are still married after all these years. I think about my grandparents, my grandmama and granddaddy been together for 60 plus years. That's insane. That's such a long time. But why have they been together that long? Does that mean they've been perfect? No, they had 6 kids. It's been rough. It's been, you know, some times where they didn't have the finances they needed, where they were barely scraping by. But why did they make it work? Because they have value in their marriage. So this is really what it's all about. Is what do we value? So not only do we value marriage, do we value family, but do we value people? Do you value your neighbor across the road? Do you value the stranger at the store down the street? Do you ever give two thoughts about someone living in need? I mean, those are things that we need to think about. Where is our value placed? And if we believe what the Bible says, and I know that there are some out there that are going, well, you lost me. You brought up the Bible. But if we believe what it says, that all people were made in His image, that means out of all creation, our God said, you, humans, will bear my image. Then what that means is everyone we come in contact with has value. So if we believe that everyone has value, then at what point does that drive us to do more? At what point does that drive us to say, you know what, I'm tired of seeing that cycle of hate, the cycle of bitterness, the cycle of dads walking out, the cycle of broken marriages, the cycle of poverty, the cycle, and the list goes on and on. At what point do we say, I value them enough, I'm going to get involved? We this morning, before we started our day, we always go over the patient list and we pray over the patient list. And this morning we were talking about a patient that's going through mentoring. She has no biblical background. She grew up K Catholic, but wasn't a devout Catholic or anything like that. And so her mentor said, well, let's go through a book of the Bible. Which one do you want to go through? So this patient picks Daniel, which is an amazing book of the Bible. Well, this patient is also very artsy, so she's very creative. So what our mentor decided to do was get her a notebook, get her a Bible, and say, hey, let's just go through the book of Daniel, and then you just draw whatever you feel led to draw. And would you know that this girl has read the entire book of Daniel up to this point, and she is going back and she's saying, I can't wait till I get to this part and this part because I want to draw and I want to kind of share with you what's coming out of this for me. Why? All because our mentor said, you have value. Not because of your looks. Not because of what you can do in the bedroom. Not because you can produce a child. Not because you found yourself at Hope Resource Center. You have value simply because you were made in His image. So because we have a mentor saying that, this girl, this patient, is getting to know Jesus, is getting to know God. And what she's learning is the further you are away from God, the more difficult things may be. All because someone said, you are valuable to me. So are you doing that in your life? Are you showing people that they have value? Are you showing your kids that they have value? Are you showing your spouse that they have value? We need to. We've been devaluing everything, and it's time that we stand and start giving value back to the things that matter. We're going to talk more here in a sec. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Hope Resource Center Executive Director. Glad to be here. We have been talking about a number of things today as we talked with Representative Zachary about legislation and kind of the trajectory and what's on the horizon for the state of Tennessee, one of the most conservative states and the most pro-life states in the country. And then what we ended the last segment with was talking about where we place value and what has value. And so it is important that we realize people have value. And we can make assumptions and have opinions about why people make the decisions that they make and what brought them to the place that they're at. And we can even have tough conversations and say, you've brought this on yourself. We can say all of that, but at some point we have to say, but you're valuable and you matter to me and I want to help. That's why Hope Resource Center opened its door in 1997. That's why we continue to open our doors every single day, is because we care deeply about the men and women of this community that are in need. Do we agree with the decisions that they've been making? Probably not. Most of the time, we do not. But that doesn't mean we don't love them and they don't have value. And so what we have to understand is that value for another should lead us to love and take care of them when we can. But also understanding, that's why at Hope Resource Center, we have a earn as you go. So we don't just throw baby showers for anyone. You had to put in the work. You have to go through the parenting classes. Go to and meet with a mentor. And then you will receive a baby shower. So it's not just a handout. I want to make that clear. It's not just a handout. It is saying we're willing and able to walk alongside of you, but you have to walk. You have to walk with us. You have to do this with us. And because we want to serve you and help you understand that this is the direction you need to go. And that's what we're trying to do at Hope Resource Center. So that leads me to what I want to talk about now as we close this show out, is what's coming up April 28th at the Foundry on the Fair site. And that is our annual spring banquet. So this year, we're going to scale back just a tad. We're not having a big famous speaker come in. We're not having a big band. I will let you know, just a teaser for next year. Next year is our 20th anniversary. That is going to be really big, so you need to be paying attention and keeping up with us on what that's going to look like in 2017. But right now, what we're doing in 2016 is I'm wanting to scale back, and I wanted to focus on what we really do at Hope Resource Center. And so the theme of the night on April 28th is a life worth saving? Because we believe every life is worth saving. So as I thought through and prayed through what that night is going to look like, what I wanted to do is bring in a former patient. And so our guest speaker, our keynote speaker, some may say, is a former patient who dealt with an unplanned pregnancy while an undergrad at the University of Tennessee and chose life, even though the man in her life stepped away. She chose life for her child. But it didn't stop there. She also chose her dreams. And she's going to share that story with us on April 28th as she talks about how she goes from undergrad with an unplanned pregnancy, how she graduates and gets her bachelor's degree with a baby, and then goes on to law school and finishes and now has a very successful career in law. Folks, that is what we are about. We are about standing for those that are in need. And society and culture will say, you can't have both. You can't have baby and your dreams. Well, we know that's not true. Because we see it every single day as patients choose life and their dreams. Everything doesn't stop for them. Their goals do not just get thrown in the trash. They can achieve that by standing and choosing life and then choosing their dreams. So join us April 28th for that night. It's going to be very special. It's a fundraising event. We, again, Hope Resource Center is funded solely by individuals, businesses, and churches. And so that's how we take care of our budget, is having fundraisers like this. And it's going to be a very special night as we get to hear from a former patient and her story. And she's going to bring your child with her. And it's going to be a very special night. Her mom and dad's going to be with her. And we are so excited about sharing that with you. You can learn more about that event at investinghope.com. And then click on events, and it's called A Life Worth Saving. There is no cost to attend. So you can sign up through Eventbrite, and there's no cost, and you can come join us. It is a fundraiser, so I'm just going to let you know, just put all the cards on the table. I'm going to ask for money that night because that is what I do as executive director at Hope Resource Center. But it is going to be a very special night as we celebrate what is going on at Hope Resource Center and as we celebrate what is going on in the hearts and the minds of our patients. And so come join us at the Foundry on the Fair site, April 28th. It's going to be just a very special night. Doors open at 6. Dinner will be served at 6:30. And then just the night of celebration with us. We want you there. We need you there. And so tell your friends, learn more about us. You can go to our Facebook page or our website, investinghope.com. It's going to be a fun night, April 28th. We hope you'll join us. We'll be back next week to talk more hope and life. Lift your head, weary sinner. The river's just ahead. Down the valley of forgiveness. Salvation's waiting there. You build a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here to lift you up.